No, we are, you naughty boy.
Okay, excellent. See, we had
Naughty,
great banter
naughty.
about
Very
hands before this
naughty.
recorded.
Oh, yeah, we could have been talking about that. We could have had the
How
hands.
many do you have?
What hands? Two.
Yeah. You're the two. Yeah, same. Yeah,
Two at a time.
Wow,
Yeah.
we've all got the same two, the same
That's
number
coincidence.
too. It's quite
Yeah.
interesting.
So we're not going to rehash that banter because this is a genuine, authentic podcast.
I
But
went
don't.
for like mirror image, like one's mirror image of the other, rather than, you know, this.
Oh yeah, so did I.
Oh no,
Yeah.
I went for the trumpet
You
hands.
went.
Yeah. But
You do that thing where you go, I can't do it. My hands and
Oh my God.
my fingers are
Hey
so
Mitch.
arthritic. Yeah.
Hey Mitch. Put your hands in my hands, brother.
Oh God. Oh my God. God, I'm just like a flashback to
That's
10 years old again.
again. That was exactly where it was like primary six or something. You know, primary six or seven. Yeah.
That is, yeah.
I wonder how many people even get that.
I'm glad both of you did. I would have
Actually,
been
I was
quite
surprised.
embarrassed if you didn't know what the fuck I was talking about.
I was weird. It was weird. I wasn't sure if Chris would know that one, but you know, kids know things, don't they?
I was young too.
Yeah, no, but
you
I
don't
just
really
wonder if
need this
kids change things.
you don't need that when you've got the internet.
No, that's
No, but I did grow up mostly without the internet. It was
Oh, you
I was
did,
about
yeah, that's true.
I was
Yeah.
about 13 or 14 before the internet came along for me. And I was an early adopter. Also, look how crisp I am today. Look at
Excuse me,
that.
sorry.
Look like
Crisp, Chris.
got crisp.
You are
Crisp.
very incredibly well lit and very, yeah, very crisp. Hamish is a bit
Yeah.
blurry for me. I
Yeah,
assume
I
it's
mean,
just my
it's
end.
because, it's coming and going. The thing is, I've got the light on because it was too dark, but it's not dark enough to shut the curtains, really.
I
So
have no idea what I've done.
again, I've got a bit of a weird lighting going on, so I can see it just looking at the. Yeah.
No, your lighting is spot on. It's just weird, like
No, it's a bit yellow.
a bit yellow. A bit yellow's all right.
I think
It's
I
like
like it
Deus
a bit
Ex.
yellow.
Yeah, I try and go for a little bit of warmth, because you know that's like kind of our vibe. Like this, I got this blue background at the moment, which is from like episode two, Plant Guy.
Plant guy.
Plant Guy.
Plant guy. What was it? Clamps back or something?
Claps
Claps
back.
back. Sorry. Damn
I
it.
was
I was
thinking
trying to be
about
down with the
using.
kids there.
I was thinking about using snaps back because that is a bit more universal, right? If you snap back at someone, right? That's like, is it like talk back? You know,
I've never heard snapback.
No, I'm just.
no, but there's a bit of like onomatopoeia to it, right? Like you snap at someone, you snap back at
Yeah,
someone, right?
I mean,
Like,
it make,
yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. I
See,
believe
I've
we already
already.
have a thumbnail for this episode as
We
well, don't
do,
we?
we do.
Because we've been we had a bit of a pile on of episodes, and then we got out of sync a bit.
Well,
So,
my fault. My sleep pattern
no,
all the
no,
way
no,
on
not
is what
just
happened.
that. You
So,
know, it was all of us. It's
to
so
be
three of
fair,
us.
it's so, yeah. It's like wow. It's mostly I think 70% Drew, 30% me. To be honest, Hamish, you've been fine. I like with but
No,
like
I've
you know,
missed a
it's
couple. I've had to cancel a couple before for my reasons, you know.
well, we all got our reasons.
Yeah.
That's why there are so
Space
many holes in
reasons.
the garden.
Yeah.
It
Well, they're not holes,
always
they're filling them
goes to
now.
murder. It always goes to murder with Chris.
Because murder's kind of funny and it gets things done.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at today,
Well, it's.
like it's you know, it, I mean, also Christmas miracle, right?
Yeah, we've still got that.
You know,
What does
it's.
your what's your mug all about there, Chris?
Oh, this? Right.
Yeah.
So I shall I turn off the background because it's sort of phasing it out a little bit. This actually is a very special mug. I don't even know what
I
like.
think I'm sure you've mentioned it before, but I can't remember, so I want to.
So this is a Monmouth. I used to.
I don't know if
I
you got
used
this
to.
on video or not, so that's why I
All
want to
right.
ask
Here's
again and make sure.
here it is. So I used to volunteer to help with the my local town's carnival. Most of it was accounting, little bit of website. Sometimes like writing up minutes and agendas and that, you know, all the boring stuff that no one else wants to do, right? But someone on the committee, interestingly enough, an old sea captain, and he looks like Uncle Al. Well, he's a bit more like, you know, like he looks like a cross between Bill Oddie and Uncle Albert, right? Like he's got that
I
proper
don't, you
sea
said Uncle
captain.
Albert last time, and I don't know who Uncle Albert is. Who's that?
Only Fools and Horses.
Captain Birdseye, like you know, he's kind of got that Captain Birdseye kind of look about him, right? In a really charming and endearing way. Like that's not like having a go,
I
right?
just,
He
for
even
some reason, when you said birds, the Captain Birdseye, even though I know exactly what you're talking about, in my head, the tune to Captain Pugwash started playing.
Ah, right, yeah, yeah.
That was weird.
And he leans into the sea captain aesthetic. He's got a hat and everything. And I think he used to lecture at one of the universities about...
Oh, Captain Birdseye.
Well, yeah, that's how, you know, like... But anyway, I mean, if Captain Birdseye was giving a talk at your university, you'd go, right?
I suppose so. Didn't they sexy him up at one point? Or is he still sexy? Yeah. Or has he gone back to traditional?
They did do that with Colonel Sanders, the KFC, I think.
Did they? But wasn't Colonel Sanders like a real person? Person? Yeah, exactly.
And he's not unsexy.
I was watching episodes of Call My Line, which is kind of the US Call My Bluff, and Colonel Sanders is on Call My Line, and that's where I learned he was a real person.
Oh, no, I knew he was a real person, yeah, yeah. But
also, Salvador Dali's on one of the episodes as well.
Wow.
My God. How do they not know
who Salvador Dali is to start with? And also, what the fuck did he do to demonstrate?
Yeah, like was he any good? And also, why are you you watch the strangest telly sometimes?
I like old game shows. I love old game shows.
I quite like old game shows, especially the more sort of. Probably the more sort of middle class cerebral ones, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why, and calm. Yeah, that's why I like the sort of Radio 4 has kept that vibe for most of
us. Yeah.
You know,
God, we should do a Radio 4 style show.
I've watched so much Call My Bluff lately. Yeah. Somebody, the
screenshot of Cumming was funny.
Steve described us as like Radio 4 once, and I was very complimented by that.
I'd feel that was a compliment. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a compliment. Although saying that, just a minute stresses me out, but in a good way. That's not chill.
I love that some people are just so fucking good. Like Joan Bakewell. Is it Joan Bakewell I'm thinking of? No, I think it's Joan Bakewell I'm thinking of that's just one of the absolute masters of it, or mistresses of it.
Isn't Paul Merton pretty good on it as well?
Yeah, Paul Merton's good at those things. I think Paul Merton, although he was like, you know, he came out in that sort of Channel 4 alternative 80s scene, and he does a lot of weird surreal stuff, but I think he's got a very older brand of thing. I think even the surreal stuff harks back to like you know, Michael Bentine or, you know, the Goons or Monty Python to some extent. You know, he's got that about him. And I think
the Goons are kind of underrated.
Monty
Python kind of take all the... When the Goons did a lot of the groundwork for Monty Python.
Yeah.
But I think... I got a weird beef with Paul Merton. I like Paul Merton. Before I forget,
one more thing you said about Paul Merton is I think he kind of grew... As he got older, he grew into what he is, what he was to start with, if that makes any sense. Sorry. Right, you've got a beef with Paul Merton.
I like his online radio presence and all, sorry, I said online. He's a radio guy, isn't he? Not really online.
Radio and
he?
TV. Yeah.
TV. I think all media is just online. Radio, whatever. It all
presumably to you listen to it online. You don't listen to it online.
He did a documentary. He knows his comedy history. He's very good on his comedy history. Yeah. And I've seen a few documentaries that are quite good about Chaplin, Keaton, all that kind of, you know, that lot. And but for some fucking reason, this isn't actually about Paul Merton, this is more about the BBC iPlayer, is that they insist on putting documentaries about comedy in the comedy section.
Oh yeah, no, that's wrong. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Anyway, this mug, right?
Mm.
So this
it was made for you by Captain Birdseye.
Yeah,
sort of, kind of.
It came with fish fingers in it.
So basically, there was this guy who I was working with. He loved like gadgets, but we had like a thing that made t-shirts. He had a thing that made mugs. He basically just made his own merch at home for like all the various different like local events and stuff he worked on. It was kind of cool because this is a quality fucking mug, right? This has been through the dishwasher a million times. So he made us one of these, but he got the fucking date wrong.
Yeah.
also, by the way, like look at the clip art design, right? That's not like he's just slammed a bunch of clip art together. I like it
though. Like he's done a good job for slapping.
It's your local carnival. You don't want fancy la-di-da stuff. You like it. The aesthetic is to have a bunch of clip art strung together. Like that's that. The design I like. I genuinely like the design. It's brightly coloured. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It fits the vibe of the event, which is like bodge your own stuff together. Right. It's not like a fantasy thing. It's just like local community village fate kind of thing. And it has the wrong date on it. And I just think, well, this is a collector's item then, I guess, right? Very, very yeah. valuable.
Oh. Steady.
Content warning.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Look at Luke.
You should model for Captain Birdseye.
I can't
see.
I've got a hat kind of like that, but not quite, unfortunately. Yeah.
You do share a Dilfy energy with old Captain.
Yeah,
Birdseye.
Kind of. Yeah. Totally. So, right. Hang on a minute. I've got to actually familiarise myself with this.
I'm sorry. You just cracked me now.
Dilfy energy.
I was trying to redo
the thumbnail.
When we were talking about beards, I was trying to find a picture of this guy, and it's.
Drew, can you just pop that picture of Captain Birdseye in the Discord? I might need to update the
thumbnail.
Hang on,
I've zoomed it right in for the benefit of the audience here. Oh my God, there's the legs and everything. I've got the full face on the screen now. You see. And that
I almost accidentally sent that to my sister. That would have confused
her. She'd be going, okay.
Oh, my word. She'd be like, thank you, but why?
Why are you on the beach?
Hey.
I mean, given how poorly lit your room is, Drew, it could be a legitimate confusion.
I've got to find this guy. I want to make sure it's not me that's wrong here. Basically, you know this when you see something, you think, is it my eyes? Am I misunderstood? I'm going to take a screenshot of this guy. Hopefully, it's in. No, not that one. Where is it? There he is. What's his name? I keep forgetting his name. Right. Sorry if you get noises from this for a minute.
Enter here.
There he is. Right. Okay. I'm going to take a pic. I'm going to find a picture of him rather than try and get it from that video.
Right.
He's a drummer. Not a drummer. A keyboard player. Sorry. Called Eric Norlander, and you wouldn't know him because he's done a lot of prog stuff. But what the issue is the beard, and I'm sure I'm just trying to find if I can find a still picture of him that isn't one of his older ones. I want to find an up to date picture. Nah, fuck, he's got no. All these pictures are like old ones. Damn it.
Damn it, man.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find... Is that... Oh, it's fuzzy. Bollocks.
Fuzzy bollocks.
Fuzzy bollocks. No, it's... Oh, come on! Right, I'm obviously not going to find it, but...
It's traditional on shows that Chris and I do that we describe pictures in words. So you can just do that.
Yeah. Right, wait a minute. I'm going to take a screenshot. Hang on, I'm going to take a screenshot. It's not brilliant, but I want to see this and make sure it's not... I don't know if he's got a squint face or just bad beard, because the older pictures of him, his beard work looks pretty good.
Hang on, in Scottish you use squint to mean something in particular, don't you? Different from... What does squint mean in that context?
Askew.
Oh, so same.
Okay. Oh, askew.
Yeah.
Squinty.
Yeah. Like yeah, squint. Not like squinty.
They would say in parts of America, cattywampus.
Wow.
I don't understand. What?
Cattywampus? I believe that's right. Let me check it.
At this time of the day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, cattywampus.
I need to.
That sounds That sounds like Ned Flanders saying something really dirty.
Right. There's the image. In Space Virgin's private chat.
Oh, his beard is off centre.
It is, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. My
it's
God.
It's not just when he's... Because if you actually watch... Because I've watched... This is from a video. He does like promos for IK Multimedia. I've got some of the also, software...
I mean, aside from that, I hate that beard.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Stupid, yeah. He's got stupid quite a shape for a beard.
He's got quite a few beard shapes over the years that are not great, but that one's pretty bad. But, yeah, it's... But if you look, if you take away his teeth, right? So just cover it up. I'm going to have to put this on the screen for.
That's all right. I got you.
Right. You've got him stretched a bit, but yeah, yeah. But if you take away, you cover up the teeth,
that's a Tetris beard.
Yeah,
it's a half finished game of Tetris.
I mean, I do some bad beard work from time to time. I end up having to, you know, I end up going over one side, or whatever. But if I was going to do promo videos for a pub, for a, you know, a commercial product, I would probably make a bit more effort to make
it. He's doing that on purpose. He's yeah, trying to be jaunty.
I think he is. I think he's being quirky. I think that's what it is. But it's
I'm not a fan of symmetry. Symmetry is a crutch for the weak artist. but with beards, yeah. No, asymmetrical beards are not, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there can be examples of asymmetrical beards that look better than that. Like, I'm not... Like, what about the ones that just whiff off to one side?
That's okay, because that's not an asymmetrical
my cut. Hair... isn't, you know, it doesn't go straight.
Does that? Yeah, mine grows all to this side, like, yeah.
Mine grows
sort of all over the place, yeah. I was going to say something, never mind. I need to tidy myself up, but that's a separate issue.
I mean, you look good with the full beard.
I don't know, it's because this is all so much longer, I'd need to trim this in.
No, I think that looks good. I think it looks good with this longer than, like, the rough stubble here, and then the...
Yeah, but it's not rough stubble anymore. It's feckin' beard now, you know.
Yeah, that trimmed a bit, maybe, yeah.
It gets a bit uncomfortable and itchy as well, I need to, at the very least, trim from there.
The worst thing is the moustache. I take a sip of tea, I put my cigarette in my mouth, and then my cigarette is soaking wet.
I had that yesterday. I think I had quite a wide glass, like a pint glass or whatever type glass, and all I was doing was getting a drink of water at the sink. So, but the glass had got, like, you know, really quite wet from all around. But I wasn't going to dry, and I just wanted a quick drink of water, and that was it. So yeah, I did that, and then later on, I didn't notice at the time, but then later on, maybe 10 minutes later, I started to feel cold and drippy, you know. It's like, where did that come from? Yeah.
Anyway. I have a number one on my beard, on the shaver, and then usually a number two on the full one there, and then I just zzz, zzz, zzz. But it's a rusty old thing. I'm thinking about updating it, but like the razor, not the beard.
I wasn't even more weird than that. Yeah. Oh,
with on my beard, I just use scissors. I find it like. Clippers on the beard just takes fucking forever.
I've got a very special one. I've got like an electric. It's like it's shaped like a normal razor. You know, one of those double ended,
like a disposable,
like an old disposable double ended thing. It's shaped like that, but it's electric, and it works really well because it's one of the only things that gets into this curly stuff without screw. Because whenever I shave like with a normal razor. I bleed all over my neck, no matter which way I go, what I try. It's so twisty and turny that it just goes all over. I'm sure the audience want to know that. Also, if you're watching this video, you've probably already noticed, if you're a long-term watcher anyway, if you're just watching this as the first video you've watched, then you probably aren't aware, but I've just upgraded PeerTube to version 7, and it's got a bit of a facelift.
I like it.
The interface has been sort of streamlined and so forth.
It reminds me, the colours remind me of going shopping with my mum in the 70s and early 80s like the 70s department stores, which don't even exist anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, we'll eventually get to the Expanse, but now that you mentioned that, I've got to think of something. Yeah, for sure. The colour schemes remind me of the 70s, and it's a bit more. It's not a million miles away from the one I had before, but it's got more brown.
I like it. I mean, you can set it.
You can set schemes however you want, obviously, but I just use the two defaults. If you want the light mode or the dark mode, you've got that option. Other than that, it's just the defaults. But yeah, talking about old shops, in the small village basically that I come from, they used to have like two, like the main street. One side of the main street had like flats and a couple of shops and, you know, a pub and stuff. Council offices, but the other side was like two, it was basically shops across the whole thing, right? So a whole street of shops on one side, split in the middle with an alleyway, and then it was like, because it was going up a hill, there was a, yeah. Anyway, point is, lots of the shops belonged to the co-op, so it was co-op's different departments and everything. And one of them, and I can't remember what they actually sold, it might have been the clothing or something, but they had this brilliant, brilliant, weird decoration. And this would be the late 70s and early 80s at some point. And what it was everywhere where there was any sort of metal railings, so like up the stairs and a few, you know, and like the balcony and everything, what they had was all these what looked like plastic spheres in them all, and like all different sizes and colours. And it was just weird. It was brilliant. I just wonder.
That's the thing you got again when shops were independent before, because most shops were independent back then. Like chains were not really a thing so much. So yeah, people did their own shop displays. It wasn't like, you know, you got instructions wherever that told you how to.
You're
do it.
You're
you
kind just, of breaking you just, up a bit, Bruce.
You're sort of fading into Captain Birdseye's crotch.
I was trying to find a picture of it in the hopes that somebody had taken a picture, because I can't believe nobody would ever have taken a picture. But
God, I'm just checking out this PeerTube. It's brilliant. And thank you for all the work. I'll tell you what, doing stuff for PeerTube is infinitely more enjoyable than doing stuff for YouTube these days.
Yeah.
It's what YouTube kind of used to be. Like, it's got all the good bits of YouTube without the shit bits. And I watch a lot of YouTube, but like PeerTube is just like, I don't know. It feels
more alive. It feels like a place that is going somewhere rather than a place that's dying.
I think a little bit of the when I think of the Hamish polar bear instance on PeerTube, I think a little bit of the Rosinante / Contortia as like legitimate salvage, you know, like we're just a bunch of like space pirates and we're just like sort of doing, yeah, or like a bit like Red Dwarf or something, you know, that kind of like, you know, space junkies and space type of thing.
I got a
lobby to you, Hamish. Have you ever thought about giving the PeerTube instance like a slightly more like snazzier name? Because at the moment it's Polar Bear Audio / Video. But you could, for example...
That was just something at the time, yeah, yeah. What's Drew going to say to that? I can't find any pictures of this co-op. That's so annoying. Because I can't imagine that there wasn't at least one person with a camera that thought, this is worth taking a picture of and putting on the internet eventually, you know what I mean?
I've got some ideas for an improvement on the name Polar Bear Audio / Video, which is a very, you know, like utilitarian. First one, legitimate salvage.
That's a bit too connected with one show, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It could be the Polar Bear Extended Universe.
Well, no, that one I can sort of see. Sorry, I'm going to stop looking because I'm not getting anywhere.
The Polar Bear Express.
Oh, the Polar Bear Express.
Isn't that a film?
Polar Express.
Yes. the Polar Express, yeah. Fading into Captain Birdseye's crotch.
Kettle's boiled.
I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I think, like, I don't know. You probably wouldn't want to call it the penis contortion, as Drew says, because he remembers the prefix for the contorta?
Pine penis Pinus contorta.
I do believe it is properly penis, not pinus.
Penis contorta. Yeah, I see what
you're
saying.
I think it genuinely is, in Latin.
Right, okay.
I may be wrong about that, but I do believe that.
So is that why Prax was like, is that a joke on Prax's the Pinus contorta? Yeah.
Pinus contorta 69420.
And all the other botanists and all the other space botanists are going,
he actually did it.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking super spaceship as well.
we don't seem to have an icon or a banner for the main site. I thought I did. Has that happened since I updated?
Also, a friend of the show, Carla, wants to give us an update. Hey, Carla. Mm-hmm. She also wants to add that her new favourite crush, I think, is Bobby.
Oh, good fucking
Understandable.
Choice.
Good
yeah.
choice.
The right choice.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming because Miller isn't around no more, then...
There's Miller. Yeah, those are my two main crushes as well, really, is Bobby and Miller. So, yeah.
I had a dream about Miller last night, funnily enough.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What did he do?
It sort of followed his character development from sort of soft guy who's mildly pathetic to guy that saves the earth. You know, like he sort of it's the hero's journey a little bit sort of.
That's cool.
Thing.
Right, if you refresh, you'll see that I've renamed it.
Oh, okay. Real time. What have you got here then?
Yeah, that's good.
Yay! The Polar Bear Extended Universe. That's a title.
If you want to, you can always make an icon and a banner. I mean, you're the arty one. But it has to be
I
more...
assume you're talking to Drew there.
No, I was talking to you.
Oh, you?
Oh, me?
Yeah. You're the artist.
Oh, you're the artist of the group.
I mean, you dropped out of art school twice. Like, that's double qualified.
I'm half of a rocket scientist as well, you know.
You do tend to come with the rocket info.
Yeah, because I'm
nothing.
No, you're a double dropout. I'm a double dropout.
I dropped out of fine art, visual communication, and Open University PPE. So
what's PPE?
Politics, philosophy, and economics.
All right.
Okay, so but the thing is that makes the art one special is that to actually graduate with an art you have to drop out. Like if you pass the course, then you've kind of failed.
Yeah, so I reckon so. Yeah.
Hang on a second. It's the sun. We've been talking for so long. The sun has moved.
I don't like that man's face. Can you get rid of that picture?
Yeah, I mean, especially when he's stretched, he looks even weirder.
No offense to the dude, but like he's got an annoying fucking face.
Mm.
I mean, I know I'm one to talk, but
do you know a face that never fades from memory? Right, this is weird. How much this guy is imprinted on our minds, at least, is the SafeStyle UK buy one get one free guy.
You know, I can't. I remember him. I can't actually remember his face, but I remember the. Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You get
so
one free.
That's good.
You buy one. You get one free.
Is this a TV advert? Or?
From the 90s.
Yeah.
90s, early
2000s? Yeah.
If it's 2000s, actually, that's after I had a telly, so I didn't have a telly this millennium.
Well, he used to wear like a town mayor's outfit
Now I remember his face, yeah.
And
I don't want to know his face in case you're going to imprint me with something in him.
I always feel the tragedy of the buy one, get one free man, because... He just worked in I think it was like the outlet in Bath or something for SafeStyle UK, the branch in Bath.
I don't even know the shop.
Double glazing.
Ah, right.
I think it's just windows. I think back in those days you could even probably get single glazing from them. But he just worked in the retail outlet in Bath, and then they picked him to do the advert. And he actually got quite famous, like quite well known as a bit of a TV character. He made quite a lot of money, but then he got into trouble because then he got divorced, and then his wife was doing all the tax returns. So he ended up owing like a shitload of money in taxes because he just couldn't, God bless him, work out how to do the taxes.
Oh,
I've just realised that Chris has like a major thing for minor celebrities.
It does, yeah.
Like not celebrities, but minor celebrities. You fucking love them.
I have a real sort of love affair with the mildly pathetic. You know, the things the things that could have been. You know,
the sort of
and also like the tragedy.
Do you know the song "Pearl's the Singer"?
No.
Yeah, let's check that one out. You might appreciate the story of that "Pearl's the Singer" by Elkie Brooks.
I like Danny Wallace, and hardly anyone knows who he is.
I know the name, but
he's a producer, but he did do a show where he turned his flat into his own country. I really enjoyed that.
Danny Wallace,
almost...
humorist. Oh yeah. No, I know him. Yeah. British filmmaker, comedian, writer, actor.
Yeah,
and he's done voice acting in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, oh, that's
TV show How to Start Your Own Country.
Yeah.
And I think I watched that at the time.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, he was fun. Yeah,
he was also.
Oh yeah, he was Dave Gorman's mate.
Yeah. And so I don't want to say he's the less successful one at the partnership because he's got a pretty established career. Like I say, voice acting.
He's still got stuff going on.
But he doesn't have the same like recognition as Dave Gorman. Although he did start his own cult. it was not a real cult, but
he's got a children's book series, in fact, a 10-year-old called Hamish Ellerby, who fights monsters.
You need to sue for likeness rights.
Well, I should be suing Edinburgh Zoo because they had Hamish the polar bear. Like, you know, they've got a real Hamish the polar bear who was one of the cubs. But I mean, you know, they should have asked me first. Because I was the same as the polar bear for like 20, 30 years before that, you know, 20 or 30 years.
Mm. And you got the beard and the accent for it as well, so.
Since I've gone grey in the last 10 years or so, I've definitely got more polar bearish, as the gay community would put it. Because when I introduced myself to people down here years ago, it was, you know, hello, I'm Hamish the Polar Bear, because I do. Always my full name. One of my mates, who's still a mate now, Paul, he said, oh, you can't be a polar bear, you're not old enough. And I was like, ah, right, there's a coding thing right away, you know. Anyway, I believe we might have a show.
Yes, to get back on topic, I've watched that Bitter Lake documentary now, and it was very good. I watched it last night. It's an Adam Curtis documentary, so it's very Adam Curtis.
No. We're doing the last two episodes of Biker Grove today.
I'm sorry.
By the way, if any of you want to have a fucking wild ride, the last two episodes of Biker Grove will just blow your fucking mind. The first of the two is a lot more normal than the second, but you want to watch the two in tandem because it's a two-parter.
I'm going to watch that at some point since you told me about that.
Yeah.
Biker Grove.
Anyway, do you want to take us through this episode, Chris?
Oh, okay. President Man is more pathetic now than ever.
Yes. Yep.
This is... Oh my god, he is like the Democrats personified, right? Like,
yeah,
he's like the Lib Dems personified.
Oh, that's a bit. I would honestly say that's a bit mean to the Lib Dems.
Well,
like,
the Lib Dems. The Lib Dems now are a bit more. They've got more charisma, but they're still just as fucking useless.
Well, it's charisma, but it's Saturday plus, morning children's TV charisma.
Yeah. Plus, I've never forgiven them for.
No,
2010.
I shamefully have to admit that Ed Davey going to Thorpe Park kind of won me.
Ed Davey is funny, and as Drew puts it, that's quite a good action. That's quite a good description in a Saturday morning kids' TV sort of way. So you know,
I don't know if we want that though. As like you'll laugh at it, but will you vote for it?
Yes.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes,
I wouldn't vote for the Lib Dems after. Never vote for the Lib Dems again.
Imagining it was a party you would vote for, presenting themselves. I want somebody like, I might sound like fuddy duddy ish, but like it's a serious fucking job. Like I want somebody serious.
That's the problem. Is too many people don't treat it as a serious. Job. Well,
this is the problem of democracy in general, right? Like this is the thing. It's like, you know, people say the Democrats need a Trump because. because like they put forward all these serious and urbane people.
No, they don't.
And then, okay, all right, fine, fine.
No, the they appearance. Put a different. They put a different kind of fucking. They put like PMC technocratic like middle managers. That's the problem. Like that's not serious either. Like when I say so serious, I mean serious.
John Major.
I mean, yeah, kind of.
Like when I think of serious politician, I don't. Yeah,
it was less boring than fucking Keir Starmer. That's for sure.
Kind of,
and less evil than Keir Starmer as well.
More intelligent, I think. I think he was a fairly intelligent
Starmer.
Man.
Yeah, Starmer's shown up to be. I don't know how he was a how he managed to be
a QC, let alone just a barrister. Yeah,
how he managed any of that,
or a KC now, I guess.
Yeah.
Does it retroactively apply?
I think
I don't think
it's
so.
Just when you're reporting on something, it's just that's when it is.
Actually, I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Because there's this weird, like, immortality thing about the royals, isn't it? Like, you're always a king, even when you're dead.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I do wonder, like, in places where they sing the national anthem, like, do they, like, you know, since the Queen's death, are they like, God save our gracious king?
Yeah, I'd imagine that happens a lot.
Still happens to me.
We literally had, like,
what, you sing 50, it?
50, 60, 60, well, 70, 70 mumble years it. of saying Queen.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know the words, Hamish. I don't.
Well,
there's that verse about how we killed all the Scottish people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's great for a unionist. Anyway, before I start getting angry about other Scottish issues that have come up in the last wee while, let's get on to this. So, Secretary General. I've got something. I think he is ineffective and boring, but also he's showing up basically his privilege and his classism and stuff, especially in this episode. He says something about, basically he says it's okay to fight on the outer planets but not back on our doorstep. He says something along those lines, not on Earth. And it's like, that is just like, you know, how most people put up with things happening in the Middle East, basically.
Yeah.
Because it's not happening to them, so they treat it as if it's another, you know, another fantasy universe. Not the, you know, they're not real people. It's not actually happening. We're not involved in it.
I do love the introduction of preachy Christian character, because she does, like, her interactions with President Man are all to expose how fucking dull, how deep his dullness goes.
Yeah, well, you said that in the last episode, that she, you know, she came along,
but it keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. Like, their dynamic, I do, despite not liking either character, their dynamic is, like, beautiful.
I get that, because it's like, the thing is, Erin Wright obviously knows how to manipulate President Man, because he sort of wheels out the greatest hits every time.
Yeah,
basically,
and he falls for it,
Yeah, every single time. Like, I think that's kind of the point, right? Where it's like, you know, Erin Wright's like, but think of your legacy. And then he's like, oh, yeah, legacy. All right, I'll do what you say then, Erin.
I was going to say, I can't remember the character's name, Preachy Lady, but Elizabeth Mitchell has grown on me. I was never quite sure if I was attracted to her or not, but I think it's the next episode, particularly. There's an outfit she wears that just makes me go, yeah.
She's kind of too nice.
Yeah, that's what it is. Maybe she's.
Yeah, we like attractive Nazis here.
Yeah, that's it. We do. We discovered another one. Didn't we discover another attractive Nazi the other day, attractive fascist the other day?
Oh, yeah.
Assad's wife. She's British. She's British, actually. And still British, despite being involved with that regime, you know. But she's very, very, very pretty. And she just seemed to, if you see pictures of them, she seemed to just get hotter as she got older as well. I don't know if that's just me getting older. That was something that somebody said on the Fediverse the other day. Another thing people don't tell you about getting older is that you actually start to fancy older people. And it feels weird.
I've always fancied older people.
I've always had a thing for slightly older women, but not...
Well, no, people your age start looking younger is what it is. Like, you stop looking old.
Yeah, you might have a point there. But I mean, Ava Sorrell is, you know, sure, she's always been hot, you know.
But Bashar looks like Mr. Bean, so it's a complete mismatch. It's not like Emmanuel Macron. You know, like,
although, his wife's okay, she's a bit too plasticky.
Kind of, but like, the thing that she used to be as teacher kind of makes it weirdly like pornographic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He dated his teacher. Like, that's his old teacher.
Yeah,
nice. So that's nice.
I don't know about that. Not at the time.
Well, no, like, scratch that from the record.
I'm not going to name names, and I hope I've never mentioned my high school specifically before. But there was a teacher at our high school who was only about maybe in her very early 20s. She wasn't long out of training, and she got involved with a student, and that was a big scandal at our school.
The boys definitely fancied her.
I mean, I thought she was.
When you said teacher, I was assuming university, because on our art degree, like, all the tutors were fucking students, like, left, right, and centre. but yeah, there was a bit of a power imbalance,
but it's not illegal.
girls in my school, my middle school, were sleeping with teachers from like age 12 onwards.
Jesus.
And there was consent. I mean, it's still not legal, but like,
it's not entirely consensual either. That's a power imbalance as well.
Sure. But the girls were certainly initiating it. There was always the scandal of, later on there's, the PE teacher who, that's later on.
Anyway, let's move away from that before I say something I'm going to regret and we get actually sued or something. So his attitude, he's shown up to be more and more shallow and vapid and boring.
Pathetic
as a leader. But also he's now showing his nastiness as well. So it's like he was unlikable in a sort of neutral... He was sort of neutrally unlikable. Neutrally unlikable, is that a thing? But now he's like actively unlikable, I think.
I think it's before
this whole episode plays out, just at the start with that attitude that he's got about, it's okay to fight on the outer planets, but don't want it actually happening on our own front door or our own doorstep.
I think it's a straight up critique of that kind of politician. Like, the really bland politicians are always the ones who are perfectly capable of evil.
Starmer or something.
Yeah, but Biden, because they are emotionally detached and have no fucking anything.
In terms of doing
war abroad, for the last, like, since about the 90s, like, the Democrats have all the bland Democrats have always been worse in terms of, like, body count or whatever than the Republicans, than the overtly evil Republicans.
The thing that you said a couple of episodes ago about President Mann is that he seems to agree with the last person that talked to him.
Yes.
This is very much on, like, this is
the evidenced all the way through this. It's evidenced all the way through the next couple of episodes, I have to say.
Well, I kept saying, like, I couldn't remember whether somebody in the show actually says that.
They do.
Or whether I'm thinking, The Office, because there's basically a similar situation in The Office, and that it is said in The Office. But no, a character in a few episodes, a character nails that so hard. It's a great line.
The thing is, if he was overtly evil, right? Fewer people would have died, and if he was overtly pacifist, then maybe no one would have died.
Yeah.
But exactly, the fact that he's like, He's sort of pissing both in and out of the tent.
I do have a question about... Skipping forward a little bit, but I have a question about what happened. So they do the thing where they attack the platforms, right? I don't want to get into that. I just have a specific question. Okay. So they attack the platforms, and then President Mann sort of dilly-dallies and then eventually says yes. Now, does Erin Wright engineer it so that one of the platforms fails, so that then he can use that to manipulate him?
I don't think so, looking at the shock on his face.
But is he manufacturing that? I don't think so. I do wonder.
I think he was genuinely... The character was genuinely shocked. What he immediately does after it happens is start to think, right, how can I use this to my advantage? How can I manipulate this, and how can I blame somebody else?
It does seem very convenient.
The whole thing is all Erin Wright. It's all Aaron Wright. Aaron Wright's fault. Everything that happens is Aaron Wright's fault. But he puts it all on the plate of the person who, you know, who signs the forms off, basically.
But the reason I don't think Aaron Wright sort of did that botching, I mean, they do say that it was because they fired up and then fired down again.
I don't think they actually mention it, but it's not the way that. The way that Aaron Wright puts it onto the shoulders of the Secretary General is he makes it seem like that wouldn't have happened at all if you hadn't listened initially.
He certainly would have made that argument, but the reason I don't think Aaron Wright deliberately... because the thing is, that missile that fired back could easily have hit the UN building. It just, by chance, happened to hit, what they say, the southern tip of Amazonia,
right?
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
So it could have. It was a bit of a dangerous game to play if he was just making. That's a fair. Point, I guess.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Assuming he knew where, because then you'd have to know where this thing would strike.
They don't know that because, well, they won't have that much that detailed intelligence. And also, it was a MIRV, so it's split, and you see the defensive system shooting down all but one warhead, you know, including some that looked like they were going. North America, you know, it looked like that whole missile package was bound for the North and South America.
Yeah, yeah.
Just going by the roughly looking at.
Yeah, yeah. That was just the details that were punched in, and they just went, "Oh, we're gonna die!" Bang.
Who does that?
Oh, the people on the platform.
Oh, I don't think there's anybody on the platforms.
Automated.
Oh, automated. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But the platform itself panicked.
Yeah, the platform is probably programmed. Yeah. If the senses attack, there's probably a failsafe to just launch, I would imagine.
Okay, a big thing for me in this episode is Sother's back.
Oh, you're going too far forward from me. I'm confused.
No, that's near the beginning. It's my first note. Sother's back, and that made me happy.
That made me happy too.
Just looking at this. Hey, who the fuck wrote this?
Well, yeah, like £30 for trousers? What the
fuck? Well, that was a good deal. 2 for 1. No, my day. Right. Well, okay. Because the thing I was going for. I mean, you're right. The next thing is connected to Southern that I've got. Right. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, Southern's back. Sorry.
Southern's back.
I just got all engrossed in my notes there. So he's not back. When he stepped down as the
He's back on the show, is what I mean.
We're seeing him again. Right, okay, fair enough. Yeah. Southern's in command of a ship. Yeah,
the Agatha King, and I wondered whether that was a real person and looked it up. It isn't. No. I thought it was as well. Yeah, it sounded like a real person to me.
Okay.
I'm just going to look up the wiki and see if they mention.
They've got the underfloor lighting on the Agatha King, so you know the people on it are evil.
Oh, it's named after a UNN admiral. Sorry, that's what it's in universe. It's a real person.
She set up Tycho Station. Apparently, did I just read that?
Oh God, I'm going to have to read more about her.
Agatha King founded Tycho Station and helped build the belt into what it is today. That's cool.
So not Kamina Drummer or Fred Johnson.
No, apparently not.
Anyway, maybe that's so. Souther's been given a kind of a falling apart old mothball ship.
Well, it's the flagship.
Yeah, but it's kind of his punishment as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem unhappy with it.
Oh, he likes the ship. He's obviously proud of the ship. Yeah,
I think he's happier in that role than he was in the political role. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Right. Do you want to know what my note is from this section that you are correct in saying is in the next one? Theo dead.
Me too. Yeah. Spy kills Theo.
And I think the acting from Spy. From Kotiar Ghazi's the actor who plays him, he does it really fucking well. It's like you can see the whole thing. It's like, shit, this guy's going to squeal like a pig. Oh, yeah. he's gonna sing like a canary is more of what I meant to say there. And I can't risk that shit. There's only one thing I can do here, and it is, you know, he does regret it, but he knows he's got to do it. Because otherwise, if he just didn't care about it, he could have just left him back on the ship to die, you know? Mm. So it's, but yeah, the acting's really good. It's a really good scene. It's not, it reminds me of a scene. Have you seen Rogue One, the Star Wars thing?
Yeah.
I did when it came out. I remembered literally nothing about it.
That's okay.
It's hard to remember.
It's not quite like it. I mean, it's, you know. Anyway, near the beginning of that, Andor has to kill another agent.
Hmm.
Because the only way they're going to escape this, they're cornered in an alleyway, and the only way to escape is to climb out of the place, but this guy's injured and he won't be able to climb. So to prevent him from talking, he kills them, you know?
Mm.
And it just reminded me of that, but it's way better acted.
I like that scene because at least by the moment he tells him to close his eyes, like, you know what's coming, and you know Theo doesn't know, and you know he doesn't want to do it, and it's quite a little scene.
But they do mention that, like, he is he known as being a
yeah,
snitch,
because
or...
yeah, later on when they're interrogating Ghazi, he said, "Oh, he seemed like the kind who would have talked." Ah, no, you know why Nguyen knows that? Admiral Nguyen knows that because he's in with Mao and Ehrenreich. That's how he knows it. That's how he knows who the guy is and what he would have been like. That just clicked with me there as well, yeah.
Of course, he knows all the insiders in the shit.
So that also brings us to the point that, regardless of this episode, the fact that Nguyen took over Suther's job means that Ehrenreich has another person on his side on the government board, or whatever the fuck they call it, the UN board.
Yeah.
It annoys them that they say win. They just say win and make it sound like WYN, and it's not. Mm. It's you know, the sort of Chinese NGUYEN.
Is that like a wing?
Nguyen.
Oh, it's like Nguyen.
Nguyen, yeah. It's
Nguyen. I did not know that was pronounced win.
Yeah. Well, it's
that's, Nguyen. Is that Korean? Is that Korean? Nguyen. Korean.
I think that's what it was. Well, maybe it is, yeah. But yeah, it's one of those, because there's a few poker players with that sort of prefix to the name that I know, and when you hear them say it, they don't say the N, they just sort of go Nguyen. It's like, it's not wh, it's not hard wh.
I thought it was like W-Y-N-N. I thought it was Welsh.
Yeah. But Admiral Nguyen. Yeah, Admiral Nguyen.
I also, to be fair, like you come out with the escape pod, and there's you and a dead body on there, which presumably the dead body didn't like. Why is there a dead body on your escape pod?
But he gives the reason. He says that he didn't get strapped in time, and we got buffeted by the explosion,
despite having no bruising or whatsoever, except around the neck.
Well, just his neck, I did think about that, and I also thought that if they do an autopsy, which they might do later, then they'll get more information. But it's not gonna. The point is, he's not fucking saying anything. That's what matters. That's what matters to Nguyen, and that's what matters to Ghazi in this situation. You know, they can. You know, he's already in trouble. If he gets, you know, if he gets a murder charge added to his, added to things, it's not going to make a huge amount of difference to what's going to happen to him, as far as he knows. You know.
Yeah, I suppose so, because it's like, and also, like, he's in this for more than his own life, in a way, right?
Exactly,
like
Well, that's why he kills him. He kills him because it's such an important thing that, you know.
Yeah, and also, like, if Avasarela does get, vindicated, then he'll probably get a pardon or something, right? And also, all he needs is to not admit it. He's just like, I don't know how he died. Yeah. Fell over, I guess.
Well, that's what he basically says. He didn't get strapped in properly or strapped in time or something. And that was it. And then he says he was a good man. It seems like, in character, a genuine thing. Mm. Drew's deliberately making himself disappear now, isn't he? Like, ooh. you're doing that Homer Simpson meme.
Oh, God. Oh, Captain Birdseye's got a full mast.
Hoist the mainsail.
Oh, hoist absolutely. The Jolly Roger.
Is that all of the stuff on the Agatha King?
Well, we've not gone into the when wind turns up and everything. So there's. Well, all I've actually got written down is Nguyen's dodgy, but we know the crew. But the thing is that Admiral Nguyen comes on board, but the crew, the bridge crew, know that he's dodgy as well. He's making weird, okay, they're at war and there'll be secrecy and everything, but it's like, this is, they can tell there's something else going on right away. So they're, loyal to Souther as well. You know, there's that.
Is this show racist? Because a lot of the baddies are Asians.
No, Chris wrote to them and said, "Look, you've got to make the bad guys Asian." No, I don't think so. I think it's
that bad guy is the nicest guy, and he's Asian.
That's true. Yeah.
I should call him Prax. I like Prax. He's one of my favorite characters. I should
calling him a plank guy is just funny because that was don't condescend to me, plank guy. Don't talk down to me, plank guy.
It's a very multiracial show, really, because I think that's deliberate to show that everybody's sort of mixed as they went out of the bell and everything.
The surnames. I mean, the most
powerful character in the show is Middle Eastern.
Persian, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Well, Abastrella.
Abastrella, yeah.
Oh, right, I figured she was Indian.
But, I thought she was Indian at first.
The character might be Indian, yeah, but I think the actress is, I think, Iranian.
Iranian, yeah, She's definitely from Middle East, because I thought she was Indian as well, because of the character.
Avatarella is on the Rocinante now, and we get some great interactions.
I was finishing off with the Nguyen in bed with Enright thing. I just wondered if you guys had anything to say on the subject, really. Because that's what we're trying to say, that the crew...
I figured as much.
But what I mean is, in terms of the crew realising this, and obviously... Yeah. Souther, knows this.
I'm being super careful because I did watch ahead, and I am not sure what parts of this are in this episode.
Yeah. Let's just leave it then. Okay.
I think it was a bit sinister that it was like, right, I'm going to take up your offer to take command now.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. But yeah, no. So Little Miss Bossy Boots comes aboard the Penis Consorter.
Right, hang on then, because I've got to remember. Hang on, Ash, I need to mark things as what we've done or what we haven't, because I've got to go back. Hang on. Right, okay. That's done.
Put the podcast on hold while Hamish crosses his
Keep going. Keep going. Don't mind me.
All right. So somebody.
I've got. This is just my next note. Somebody says to Amos, you have very specific people skills or something like that. I can't remember who says
Prax,
that.
Prax says that. Prax say that?
No, you know a lot about... No, that was the last episode. You know a lot about how people die?
No, yeah, that's a different one. Specific people skills is what I've got written down.
He's taking the stitches out of Prax's head.
Mm.
And he does the Dracula was the name of the monster.
I've got a note of that. Oh God, you guys are jumping around too much for me. Can't do it. Amos, I've got Amos quotes on here. One of them is, I do actually have a little note that makes me remember there is something specific I want to talk about in this. Right, so that little segment where Amos has taken the surgical staples out of Prax's head. Mm.
Love that.
And he hurts him, and in practice, I thought you said you've done this before. He goes,
but not on someone else.
Not on someone else. Yeah, I've got written not on myself, but that's the wrong way around. Not on someone else, yeah. And he also says, I didn't want you said Dracula, but it's Frankenstein. Didn't want you to say Frankenstein.
It's Dracula's monster.
I see. Okay, anyway...
It's not just any Dracula, it's specifically vampire.
So anyway, he says the one you end up looking like Frankenstein, and Prax says to him, actually, the monster... It's actually the doctor is Frankenstein, and, that meme as well. So,
Not to be confused with Kevin Dracula.
Oh, you guys are just trying to derail my thoughts here, aren't you? But he says... and the monster didn't have a name. And then because there's like a sort of hang on, I'll get across here. Come on, camera.
What's over there that you need?
A prop.
Oh.
So Amos has got a magnifying glass.
Oh, right. Ah,
and he's looking at through that to get the staples out. And Prax says the thing about Frankenstein and the monster not having, and he goes, damn, yeah, you're right. So obviously Amos has read it. But the point I want to make about the Frankenstein thing is, do you know the subtitle, the alternative name for the book?
I don't.
You know how they have a book like such and such title blah? Because I think it's The Hobbit is The Hobbit or There and Back Again, I think is
there
the
There and Back Again, yeah.
Frankenstein's one is Modern Prometheus.
Oh, yeah. Lucy really likes the Frankenstein. Did you know, do you want to know one of my favourite fun facts about Mary Shelley?
Mm-hmm. What's that?
She lost her virginity on her mother's grave.
She also fucked her father, didn't she?
I don't know if the two relate.
The two are related. I like Mary. Yeah, I quite like Mary. I think I'd have got on with Mary Shelley. I like her.
She also wrote Frankenstein when she was like 18 years old.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, and she wrote it as a challenge as well.
Mm.
Well, like NaNoWriMo type of thing.
Something like that.
The Tumblr.
But the point is, Modern Prometheus. I thought that tied in quite well with the proto-molecule story.
Mm.
You see?
Also, that would be a good episode name, Modern Prometheus.
Now I need to think, is there one called that?
But Amos's reaction to Prax saying the thing about Frankenstein is very different to mine. What mine would have been in that instance, which would be, as much as I like Prax, I would have just airlocked him at that instant.
Being a smart arse.
Just like, everybody fucking knows that. Shut the fuck up. You know what I fucking mean when I say Frankenstein. Fuck off. Pisses me off no end.
No,
it's Dracula's monster, not Dracula. Like, that's funny as fuck. But actually correcting somebody, fuck off.
I've got a new way to wind you up soon.
It's actually Keir Starmer's monster, not the Labour Party.
No, I've got a thing to do at one point when it needs to happen. I'm hoping it'll happen on this show so it's recorded. So we'll come back to that. Pardon?
A fight.
A fight. Yeah, we can't reach each other, you know.
Am I on the right side?
I've got Captain Birdseye on my side.
So. You have. So, the other thing from that conversation, though, is Amos. He talks about where Amos comes from, Baltimore.
Mm.
And Amos, you know, a little bit of a story, and then he says the only way to get out of there is to die.
Dying is the only way of getting out of Baltimore. So how did you get out?
I died. Yeah. And we discover about that later, obviously.
So that's where we learn that Amos is a zombie.
Yeah, well,
it's actually the zombie's Amos creature.
Amos is monster.
Amos is monster.
So that does sew in really well to the conversation, kind of.
I don't know if that's intentional, but yeah.
Really? Oh, it's got to be, because the whole thing is because Amos is...
You know what? Yeah.
Like
that whole scene is like really deep and woven.
Because Amos is a bit like Frankenstein's the monster.
Probably not.
Yeah. Because he's like color, because but... he's looking like, oh my god, I've got to sort of remember the fucking themes of it now. But it's like he's kind of like he's looking where to like put his heart, right? Like he's like he's looking like, because it's like he's broken free from his creator. And now he needs the human guidance, perhaps. I mean, that's not exactly Frankenstein,
it's very interesting. Yeah.
It's a sort of parallel.
I think this whole thing has got. I mean, sometimes these layers turn up without you realizing it. You know,
it matches up with the porno versions of Frankenstein that I've watched. he's very much seeking human companionship.
I see. Mm. Right, okay.
Yeah,
you mean he's seeking human companionship's monster. So anyway, so he says, I died, which we're starting to put things together with Amos. We've got this woman that looked after him. We've got his upbringing was, he's very casual about sexual things because his upbringing was like as a prostitute, really, I suppose. And male prostitute, I don't know what I was going to say, male prostitute, weird old thing, a child prostitute, to be honest. Yeah. But it's like saying male nurse. Remember, my ex-brother-in-law is a nurse, him and his wife are both nurses, and their grandmother used to make a point of saying, oh, he's a male nurse, you know?
I was once doing a local news story on the local bowls club. And you know what bowls club are like. They're usually like old men. Nowadays, a lot of old couples that do it, and it's kind of all cute and everything. And I remember being on the phone to the secretary of the club, and he was talking about how they've got a woman chair now.
Oh my god.
Well, that reminds me a concert years ago. So we got a new vicar in the village who was an Asian gentleman. And I was in the shop across, this is when I could still go across the shop, across the road. And it's two old ladies talking, going like, have you met the new vicar? He's like, no, what's he like? It's like, he's Asian, but he's lovely.
But he's lovely, yeah. That's the sort of, he's one of the good ones type thing, you know. Yeah.
But the thing is, though, to a rural country town amongst two old ladies, that'd be the first thing they notice.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Oh, I don't think there was any, yeah.
No, it's not, it's like that sort of low-grade, unintentional racism sort of thing, you know.
Low-grade. It's not weapons grade.
Also, I wanna make a Frankenstein porno now, where he refers to his penis as Frankenstein's monster.
Well played.
Do you reckon? Do you reckon there's a lot? Exists. There must be quite a lot of them, right? Like a lot of Frankenstein's.
Oh right. Yeah.
I imagine it exists. Yeah.
You could actually go so far as to like build like an actual functioning robot nowadays.
I think some of the camper
Hammer horror films like Bride of Frankenstein, I think, lean a bit that way. Definitely a bit bosomy women in it and stuff.
Well, I'll never say no to bosomy women. I've got one. To me, I know this isn't funny in real life, but the idea of faking your death is hilarious to me, and there is a horrible part of me that kind of wants to do it for a laugh, but I know that like it won't be as funny if I do it for real.
That is like prank YouTube. It's just a prank
and then I come out the coffin.
Yeah, that's the moment to tell everybody. Okay, so You point out that Bobby and Abbasarala arrive on the Rocinante, or Contorta, as it may be at the moment still. And I love, there's a great line from Holden when he's talking to Abbasarala, and he's talking away to her, and she's like, oh, I'm glad to see you feeling better, blah, 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 and she's, oh, I fucking hate space. And he goes, you know, well, you already cursed like a sailor, so you're doing well so far, you know. I thought you already cursed like a sailor was good. Okay.
Actually, I do like
not that good.
No, I like the whole, I do like the Holden Avastrella banter. They have a good, what's the term I'm thinking of?
Rapport,
that's it, yeah. Because I suppose they're both leaders, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Also, the it's like you've only seen the a glimmer of it so far, but the sort of whatever something between Amos and Abbasarala. There's the pumps bit, like what was it? When he's teaching, Amos is teaching her how to use the gravity boots.
You're jumping. So you're still.
I've got notes too, Hamish.
Yeah, but.
How do you know? And he says it's just like walking in pumps. And she says, how do you know what it's like to walk in pumps? And he says, I didn't always work in space.
Which is a great, it's a sort of a non sequitur joke line to isn't it? I didn't always work in space.
That's great. I love it.
It's very good. Yeah.
I like Amos, like, very masculine man. but not afraid to sort of undercut. No, his
he doesn't care about that. No, yeah, he's
good. I like that.
Also, on the note of jumping around, Alex has a very hot wife. Just saying.
He has a hot wife, and she puts him in his fucking place. And I love it.
I would never leave Earth. I would never leave Earth if she was my wife. Mars.
Yeah. I'd be locked in a dome with her any day of the week.
Yeah, totally. It'd be like, yeah.
But yeah, no, she fucking tells him, and I love it.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, like, go fuck yourself, you stupid.
Fuck off, Amos, Alex.
We've already learned. We've already broken up with you. Like,
she's got great.
You can't fire me.
Her hair's amazing. The actress in place.
Yeah,
it's very beautiful.
I wish, ooh, like, can she come on the Ross and Auntie and Alex?
Yeah, swap her for Alex. Mars. Her, yeah,
you know. she's from District. Her district.
Yeah, that was cool. That little thing. I noticed that as well on the little communications
Breach
thing.
Candy.
Yeah.
Oh, this is an unencrypted recording because not every website is HTTP or something in space in 200 years.
Yeah. HTTPS.
Like it's unencrypted recording. Like, why? Like, every WhatsApp message is encrypted. You can do it. It's not.
No,
like,
in the future, Alex doesn't pay for Nitro. You only get encryption with Nitro.
Yeah, something 2-6 Breach Candy.
Is Breach Candy probably a real place on Mars, isn't it? It sounds like a Mars place.
Oh, I thought it was just like randomized words for.
No, Breach Candy.
Communication.
Breach Candy. Oh, wait. Breach Candy is a place on Earth.
Oh, so it's maybe named after that then.
It's in South Mumbai.
Oh, that's interesting, because she's Indian, the actress anyway, and presumably the characters of India.
So she has to live on the Indian part of Mars, Hamish, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, got to keep them in their place, you know. Just
keep it staying little India.
Well, you know, see? She's got to be married to a brown man as well, so that's how it all works.
Yeah, I mean, it's not looking good, is it? It's not looking good.
No, but yeah, she is, she's very attractive as the... The takeaway from all this, and she's got lovely hair. I love Indian women's hair, long hair. Oh,
it's just turning into the thing.
Right, okay. What are we up to?
We're still on the Ross and Auntie.
Yeah, we're still on the Ross. No, I think as well, when Abisarala is talking to Naomi, this is another thing I noted, is... No, I think this is along the same lines as Secretary General, really, that she seems to have quite a disdain for the belt anyway. And she basically sticks with the you're all the same. She doesn't go you're all away, OPA, OAPs? You're all OP. She doesn't say you're all OPA, but
OPP.
She blames...
You're down with OPP.
She blames everybody in the belt for the OPA existing still. So she doesn't say they're all.
No, I think only in the sense of a democratic accountability. I think, like, you as the people could get rid of them. I think she means rather than.
That's racist.
It's, yeah,
sort of.
It's racist against.
That's a bit like saying Palestinians should shove out Hamas.
It's exactly the same thing. It's not as simple as that. Yeah.
You know. Or the
it's exactly the same as that. Yeah. In fact, that's exactly the same as blaming all Palestinians for Hamas.
No. That's not the same because they're an occupied. It's like saying to what's a country we don't like. It's like saying the Syrians should oust Assad.
No, it's kind not. Of. Well, yeah, no, I suppose it's similar. Same.
Hasn't Assad won like every election by like 99.9%?
Yeah, I mean, he's a dictator. Like... So how do they oust him? It's still racism. It's still
they have
ousted him.
So. Yeah.
have they ousted his wife?
But no, but I think it's insensitive. But I don't see how it's racist. I mean, you would say, I mean,
colonialist, imperialist.
Because the same was said of like the Soviet Union in the West. You know, the people will have to rise up and overthrow this government. You know,
that's not how Abisarala says it, though. She's literally blaming the OPA. It's like blaming everybody in Northern Ireland for the IRA.
No, it's before like it's Sinn like Féin it's like a, Iraq. It's like an Iraqi. Voice, well, it's like an Iraqi. Voice, it's but... like a, it's like an Iraqi saying that we, as you know, as people who vote in British elections, are responsible for what our government does in Iraq, which is absolutely fair.
Except we don't have control over the system. The system's broken.
We validate it by voting in it.
Yeah, but we don't really have that power. Doesn't really exist in the hands of the voters. I mean, it kind of does. But
we could rise up and overthrow the British government and prevent them from committing that. Like, that is a valid charge.
No. I don't think we could, because I think a large amount of the British population are complicit in a lot of the shits that we do.
Well, we're all complicit. If we vote, we are complicit.
Well,
even if you don't vote, you're somewhat
you're still
complicit.
Exactly. And that's kind of
the system is the problem.
We're complicit by belonging to the polity that did this. And I agree.
We're complicit in that we were born here. That's what you're saying. Which, yeah. Now let me think, what would that mean? You're complicit because you were born in a certain place. Oh, that's a racist.
How is that about race?
That is total racism.
It is racism. Being anti-British, based on blaming every British person for the British government, is a type of racism.
That's not racism because it's about nationality. It's not about race.
See, it's nationalism. It's anti-British
Indian people, British Afro-Caribbean people.
Now you're just twisting it for semantics rather than the discussion.
If you're saying racism, for me to point out it's not about race, it's not a semantic argument.
Okay,
hang on, racism is still applicable in that context according to, I believe, the UN definition of racism.
Mm.
So you're saying
you cannot be racist to the Belters then, because you've used the word racism.
No, you can be racist to the Belters. You can say things that are, you know, if there's a stereotype about the Belters and you repeat it as if it's true, then that would be racism. But saying that people are politically accountable for the polity within which they live is not racism.
Okay, well, there's another word for it. Obviously, you're the smart one in that department.
It's a statement of political economy. It's
still bigoted, whether or not it's racist.
It's bigoted. Yeah, there we go. Let's stick with that. It's definitely bigoted.
I don't think it's even bigoted. No, and to go back to the IRA example. I mean, I'm kind of on the IRA side, so
yeah,
it wouldn't be a blame issue, but. It would be up to the people in Northern Ireland to stop that from happening.
How do the people stop an armed militia?
If your government is doing something on your behalf and in your name, then you are somewhat culpable for that.
That's super complicated because, for example, like
especially in a democracy.
You agree with what's happening between Britain and Israel then, because you've rubber stamped it by being a voter, so that's it. That's just what happens.
I don't agree with it, but I am responsible. Yeah.
Because for example, and it gets further complicated, but like, yeah, no, I disagree with that, but like. I'm on your side, Hamish. Don't worry. But like take for example Afghanistan, right? Like a large section of Afghanistan is like rural, where they very rarely even have anything to do with their government whatsoever. They're just, you know, doing their own thing, and they have like fractionally, like basically no input into how their country's run. Whereas at least we're in a democracy, we have a tiny
in a democracy, we're far more culpable because we are the whole point of a democracy is it represents the will of the people. That's how it's supposed to work. But if it doesn't work that way, then that's also our fault for not doing something better.
So who in the belt is voting for the OPA?
I mean, we don't know how their politics works. We don't know how those people. They
don't have any of that. We know they're colonized. We know that the stations.
Yeah. No, but we're not talking about that.
Earth and Mars that should be dealing with the OPA, not the people of the belt.
We're not talking about that, though. We're not talking about what Earth and Mars do. We're talking about what the OPA do and who is responsible for the leadership of the OPA, and that is Belters at large.
Yeah, but you can't.
But they don't have the government. They do not have a government. You're saying You're apples and oranges, you're mixing things up a bit for us here, because you're saying that what she said isn't bigoted because the Belters are complicit in the OPA and their activities.
I'm not saying she is not bigoted against Belters. I think she is, but I don't think that is an example of it. I don't think that is a bigoted thing to say. To say that the electorate of the US is responsible for the war crimes that the US commits. To some extent, I don't think is. I understand how that can even be perceived.
No, it's not. No. But what the point is that the people of the Belt don't have that power.
She's talking about the OPA.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the governors that are appointed by Mars or Earth. We are talking about the OPA. And the OPA, we presume, are to some extent
but she
democratically
says
chosen by Belters.
I'll tell you what. Are all Christians culpable, responsible for the actions of the worst of them? You know,
that's not the same because they are not an organization. There's no tacit agreement. I think as a Catholic, you are responsible for what the Catholic Church does because you do belong to that organization.
No, but you're just born into it. It's not a choice.
You choose to stay in it.
What? So you're saying that you're no longer a Catholic then?
I'm not religiously a Catholic, but I was brought up Catholic, and I feel that I am responsible if the Catholic Church does something as kind of a Catholic.
But do you hold people that you know who might still be Catholics to that same standard? Are you saying, you know, are you holding them
Church is different because it isn't a state and it's not really
it's the Roman Empire
active anymore.
it's the continuation of the Roman Empire.
The OPA is not a state.
Yeah, the OPA is not a state. The Belt isn't
zing,
a state.
Zing,
I know,
zing,
the Belt, is,
no,
the belt is not one thing. It's not a state. The OPA is not a government.
The OPA claim to speak for Belters and Belters...
Yeah, but...
By and large,
terrorist organizations claim to speak for the people. Hamas claim to speak.
But Belters, by and large, concede that.
I don't agree with that. I'm not sure we've seen enough evidence of that.
And that might even be a racist thing that you've just said.
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah. It's an
that's
assumption.
Racism.
I mean, talking about
the internal power dynamics of a particular state or
it's
polity
not a
or whatever.
State. That's the point.
Or polity, I said, is not. It's not fucking
hang on,
racist.
I'm having a ton
okay, all right, all right. I put this to you. To what degree, would you blame Jewish people for what Netanyahu does? And his policy.
But Israeli. No, it's not about fucking. You're trying to make it about ethnicity.
No, because Netanyahu claims to speak for all Jews.
But Jews don't, by and large, concede to that. And they also, the Belters are a polity. The Belters are a polity. Jews are not a polity.
We disagree, it appears.
Yeah.
Right. I'd love to know, right? Not the real world stuff, because that's a bit more clear cut. Obviously, Zionists are. Just fucking imperialists. They don't represent Judaism. But if you are watching this and you've seen The Expanse, now remember we're only going up to episode 3 of series 3, and I'm assuming Drew's not. I mean, maybe you're drawing from something else that I've not remembered. But as far as I can tell, at this point, I disagree with what you're saying about the Belt being represented by the OPA. So, anyway, up above there, you've got feedback@thepolarbear.co.uk. You can send messages there, or you can comment below in the video on PeerTube. So let's just, let's move on this so that we can actually continue with the show. Because otherwise, we're just going to say we disagree. So, anyway, speaking of controversy...
By the way, I got a hard out at 3:30. So
okay.
We got a bit of time.
Okay.
Goof of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Goof of the episode.
Goof. Okay.
Mistake of the episode. You know how I love spotting a mistake, and then you guys try and say it's something sci-fi. This one, I imagine you're going to try and justify it, but I can't see how. I'd love to see the gymnastics, mental gymnastics of trying to justify this. Very small one, very simple, even simpler than the bendy knife. Holden asks the computer to show something for Avasarala's sake, but it starts playing before he's asked for it.
No, no,
No, that bothered me as well. Yeah, no, that bothered me too. Yeah.
Wait.
Because he touches it. No, he does touch the controls and stuff and goes blah, blah, blah. Mm. But if he wasn't telling the computer that, if he was just typing it, then why did he have to say it?
He said something along the lines of show me that not docking bay. What's the cargo bay
footage? Yeah,
he goes show me the cargo bay, and then it immediately comes up, and then he goes like alien incursion or whatever.
I've just thrown my cigarette.
He asked for footage that's already showing, basically.
Is that
quite near the beginning?
I think that's bad editing, is what that is.
Yeah, it's all it is. Yeah, middle of the episode-ish. I see. Because he's showing Abisarala the thing, so probably towards the first end of the third sort of section, first third section. I don't know. I'm guessing. Hang on, I'll look at the transcript.
Yeah. Oh, you've got a transcript. Oh, I should do that.
No, you shouldn't, because it's from that site. It's from the site where you'd get all the spoilers.
Oh, right. Yeah. I got pictures, you got words, Hamish.
I got my words.
There is the amazing line that Abisarala says to Naomi, which made me piss myself. You're going to call me a racist for finding this as funny as I do. When Abisarala says to me, I'd say cry me a river if I thought you could appreciate what one was.
That's racism.
But that's fucking funny as well. I don't think Abisarala actually thinks that poorly of Beltas. I think what she's trying to do here is undercut any arguments that Naomi might make for the Beltas. She's politically maneuvering to make Naomi look stupid and weak. And she's trying to and there's that conversation between Naomi and Abisarala, where Abisarala comes in quite clearly trying to manipulate her, and Naomi basically rejects it, and then Abisarala ends the conversation with "You're right, we're not going to be friends." Just like gives up, basically.
So a bit of tactical racism there, really.
Tactical racism, yeah. A bit of ad hominem.
So what I took from that conversation, which I find 29
minutes 36 seconds 644 ticks or whatever it is, can't remember what it's called. Yeah, it's ticks. I got it right.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So. The thing, sorry, I lost my train. What was I talking about? The Expanse.
Yes, TV show with space.
Which bit? Are you talking about the security cameras?
So Naomi says to Abisarala that I think you're really only on board with this because you want to take the protomolecule for Earth, because Mars seems to have it. The belt's now got it. So Earth is like kind of the odd one out, and they, as far as I'm aware, are right. Like they don't actually have a.
Well, no, I don't think that's right because, well, depends. No, depends on.
Yeah, I think. I mean, careful what you say here.
Well, Mao has it.
Yeah, and Mao's not giving it to Aaron Wright no more.
Well, Mao was working with Earth up until this point. I'd be amazed if if they don't have it. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't have a sample.
I think my guess is that Mao has the monopoly on, or not the like, the, yeah. Basically, it's Mao and Johnson. So, maybe. I mean, you know, we'll time will tell, I guess. But like, that to me, and Abisarala doesn't inherently disagree, right?
No, she sort of concedes that point. Yeah,
it's like, and also like. I don't know. Is that like
no sample? I've got a note of it.
No,
this conversation that we're happening already.
Yeah. So, should Earth have a sample?
Yeah. To maintain the once somebody's got it, it's same as nuclear weapons. Once somebody's got it, everybody should have it.
Yeah.
So I mean, everybody should have it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the only way to. It's
like everybody.
Yep. Every state. Yeah. Not every person.
So it's almost like the definition of a state is one who has the protomolecule. That's like the new sort of refined definition.
we are calling the belt as a state here. I do. The OPA is a state-like entity.
It's more of an emerging state. Yeah, yeah. Proto state. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Proto. Yes.
Well,
so. The other big, I mean, unless you want to talk about the Rocinante stuff anymore. Mm. Oh, yeah, Bobby, there is one thing. Bobby does seem quite interested in how the fuck did you beat that when I couldn't? She seems quite quite down with that. Oh, yeah. And I liked, actually, two things to say about the very start. The very, very start, which is when they first come on board. It's when... Oh, somebody's made a mistake on the thing. Anyway, it's Bobby. Bobby says, "Who defaced the Martian flag in the bulkhead?" Mm-hmm. and Amos says, "I updated it." And he says, "You think that's funny? Well, maybe not now." And then Alex sort of tries to interject, and then Holden comes up, and it's like, "Oh, I see everybody's getting on really well, you know." And Amos says, "The Martians were bonding," and what's it? Sorry, there's more in that. I'm trying to get to the fucking point here. Oh, for fuck's sake. Sorry about this.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Martians are bonding, yeah, so... Yeah, there's the call me darling thing and all that. You know, there's lots of little bits of banter.
Yeah.
But when Amos says the Martians are bonding to Holden, Alex's face is like fucking, you know. It was quite good.
It is another one of those episodes where we get to see our favourite characters meeting up and interacting, and I fucking love. And it's never because you kind of think because we know them all. And because we're stupid monkeys, we kind of think because we know them, they know each other.
Yeah, but of course, exactly, they don't.
They're,
they're
meeting as strangers.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah, awesome.
Call me darling again, and you'll be saying that drawl in sign language. Was the response? I like that. You're the drawl.
Alex gets told off a lot.
He does,
because he's a bastard.
He is a bit of a
He's awful. Like, yeah.
And then, if we're moving on from Rocinante, Earth gets fucking nuked.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, but that was part of earlier, but we're running out of time. There is a whole other section to cover
as
well.
This is the point where the nuke actually lands, is at this kind of point.
Yep.
And then we go back to Rossi, and then government stuff.
Yeah, so essentially, Ehrenreich finds a way to twist it back around to blaming... the Secretary General. We kind of covered it because we talked about the launch platforms.
We did skip over the conversation.
I don't think he's inherently necessarily wrong
about what? Sorry,
no.
About when he shows up to spill the tea to that lady, like it's like, you know, like the wavering. There's a bit in House of the Dragon. I can't really talk about that because you haven't seen it yet, Drew. But basically, it's about sailing into a storm, right? You either sail into a storm and face it head on, or you run away. But what you don't do is freeze and stay. You know, it's a bit like that. It's like the hesitation.
Like I say, it's not. He's not wrong that it is his. That it is.
It's another example of him being a weak leader, like indecision.
That's true. It does get people going. But the point is that Ehrenreich immediately turns that to his own advantage and takes all the blame away from himself.
And it's
all his plan and everything. So
there's a conversation from earlier that we
and he's got it all set up before he speaks to the Secretary General.
Because you see him walk away, going, "Nailed it."
Yeah.
There's a conversation earlier that we skipped over between President Man and Christian Lady, where they're talking about how many people is it correct to kill, and she does the smarmy, as few as possible.
Yeah.
Like, which a fair point and everything, but yeah. But then that comes back. You know, that's the point.
You was almost expecting her to say, "When they go low, we go high."
Right, let's shepherd this into the last section then. Mao and the kids and Strickland is what's left.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I actually, this really humanizes Mao for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Is he not as evil after all? Is it Aaron Wright that's the actual evil
one? This is where he turns into a, does the opposite of a heel turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, well, I've got written in here that Mao sees the kids as people, where Strickland sees them as objects, as, you know, laboratory equipment or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and it's like, and the thing that I got is like he puts a hold on the operations, on the experiments, and I'm like, hang on a minute. So where now? Where are you going now? You're not just gonna, everyone pack up everything. The proto molecule was a mistake. is that sort of
kind of seems it? What he's yeah? I mean, he's
sort I mean, of... do we assume that because we've seen several of the ways they've been trying to use or manipulate or investigate the proto molecule. My assumption's always like he's got other stuff going on.
Yeah, I just assume he's got loads more experiments as well that we don't see. We just happen to see these ones, you know.
So if he shuts this project down, it doesn't mean the proto molecule.
Yeah, I don't think he's shutting down the proto molecule thing. He's just shutting down the using the kids thing.
Yeah.
Also, Chris's influence to my observations again. You talk about color a lot, Chris, and lighting and stuff, but. Do you notice? No, it's obvious. I reckon it's not just an aesthetic thing. I reckon it's something that's deliberate in the story of the show. Is that Katoa wears blue and the other kids wear grey. And we find out in this episode that he's the only one that's so far been infected.
That is interesting. He is the first proto-citizen. It seems, or one of the is he the one? Of the
oh, he's the, well. No, I mean, Strickland says it. I'm sure it's this episode. He says it. He's the only one that's. First... Yeah, he says it in this episode or the last episode. It's the last episode of this episode. It's not something from the future because it's before him and Mao have the. It's when him and Mao have this conversation actually about the shutting it down thing.
Does Katoa die, or is he just having a seizure?
We don't. He's
we don't
dead.
Know.
We've not seen him die. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Okay. So he comes back as Proto Man to stop the evils of the Proto.
He may be the world's first Smurf.
Or first superhero for real.
Mm-hmm. Doctor Manhattan.
Doctor Manhattan. That's yeah. So I kind of want May to get protified. because I think she'd be a good superhero.
Yeah,
he just does, like Strickland.
It does say it in this episode. Mao asks, have the others been infected? And what's his name? Strickland says, I don't have a large supply, so I like to go in one at a time.
Yeah.
And the current subject's the best candidate genetically. Don't worry, there's no risk of contagion at this stage. Or not
okay,
this
stage. So
we know from this episode that Katoa is the only one of the kids that's been infected deliberately with the proto molecule, and like I say, I reckon that's so that the science people can identify him quicker. You know, just at a glance, there's the kid. They probably recognise the kids individually, but you know,
honestly, I hadn't noticed that he was wearing a different outfit.
Yeah, he's wearing blue, and the others wear grey.
A lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah.
And if they infect another one, they'll change their clothes to be blue as well.
I know that there's a cinematic sort of angle to it, but so the audience can follow which one's the proto.
Yeah. I suspect it's well, but it makes sense in the universe as well, because like the scientists look in a room full of kids and go, there he is, or those are the ones of the proto molecule, the blue ones.
Don't fuck with those ones; they'll kick your ass.
Something like that, yeah. Ooh, I've got a picture of Admiral Nguyen looking really evil.
He is good at looking. He's another one that's great at looking evil.
Well, they've got a picture of where he's sat on. He sat on the stairs above the bridge. You know, the bridge has got the little levels. Mm. He sat at the top step of the level ladder thing. Looking down, being evil, and his little back.
One of those faces, but I can't imagine him playing a nice character. He's just got one of those faces where he just always looks pissed off.
Yeah, he's
like I don't know, like so Kato was kind of, yeah, like I I'm
so there's another one of Nguyen looking freaking evil as well.
I'm kind of keen to see what is it. Oh, sorry, I'm just doing the thumbnail. Is it Captain Bird Eye or Bird's Eye?
Bird's Eye.
Bird's Eye. Why
Bird's
Eye?
Bird's Eye.
Bird's Eye. Yeah, it's Bird's Eye Foods. The Foods of Bird's
yeah,
Eye.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Oh no,
yeah.
It's Findus. Bird. You're right.
Okay.
That's even better than the first one. I just posted it for you. I'm going to put it up in. Can I put it up there? Yes, I can. I've put it up on the screen for.
Oh, you should have Admiral Souther with a plate of fish fingers.
Oh. I've got that. Well, this is it so far, right? You can, oh yeah, because like okay, you people at home will already have seen it because it'll be on the thumbnail.
Yeah,
there you go. It's a little.
I love Marsh and Bossy Boots so much.
And the Secretary General just clueless.
Yeah,
that's great.
So is that the final one?
That'll be it. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
I will say, Chris. Go on, sorry.
The last one I made based on that was a couple of days ago, which I think still stands true, but like also like I had to put in the Captain Bird's Eye in there.
Yeah, it's got to be done once the I was thinking that when you did it. Once the episode comes out, there might be some dynamic.
Be careful not to say anything too funny, so we don't have to change the thumbnail. But no, Chris, the next three episodes, oh, fucking great! You're in for a treat.
It's gonna be good. So we're gonna have to, Drew. You're gonna have to, or actually, no, it's Chris that's the one that's got to get up early now, isn't it?
Get your shit together, Chris, for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ, holding us back.
My Christmas day has actually become free. So if you want to knock out a bunch of space virgins, then
I'd love to do some Christmas day ones. Yeah,
I usually do shows and things on Christmas day anyway. But
cool. I want to eat my dinner.
Let's talk about because this is temporal. Yep. Temporal stuff doesn't belong in the video part of it. Mm-hmm, let's go. But I think we've pretty much covered the episode, haven't we?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, we've kind of got there, and we had an argument, we had a flaw in the show, the
controversy,
and we had
racism.
I think we've covered all the bases that we usually cover, and we've
everybody wave goodbye.
So that's it. So I'm now going to go potty, and then I'll get
off. I'm going to bed. I'm awfully tired.